Hello, hello, hello. This is Interneted. I'm Michael Bird.
And I'm Rob Murgatroyd.
And welcome to our show about tech, gadgets, and the internet by a couple of blokes who are always being asked how to fix it most of it. Isn't that right, Rob?
I think that's right, yeah. I don't really know. But on this show, we'll be sharing our technology with you and keeping up to date and informed with all the latest tech news and updates from around the internet.
Yes.
We'll also be opening a brand new case at our Agony Uncle's detective agency. Has anyone made that connection?
I don't know if anyone's picked up on it. It's a hilarious pun, which we've been...
It's great when you see it written down, honestly. Not good for radio.
No, it doesn't work quite so well.
And we'll be solving your tech woes. And finally, we'll head over to the Museum of Retro Tech, where we'll be taking a look at some of the biggest moments in gadget history.
So buckle up, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show from two blokes in our actual spare bedrooms. This is Interneted.
Okay, then, let's start the show. It's time for our weekly tech roundup. Each week, we'll both bring the most interesting bits of news from around the world of tech, sifting through the motorized drinks coolers, self-watering plant pots, and the legendary Google glasses, so you don't have to.
Did you ever get a pair of Google glasses?
I didn't. I think they were very expensive when they were available. Then also, you would look like an absolute freak, and no one would ever walk past you in the street and not think you're a weirdo.
So because of their Google glasses. Do you think they'll ever become a thing? Head-mounted?
Google glasses.
Head-mounted
I think Apple wants to do something similar in the future with like a similar Google glasses.
I reckon if they look a little less clunky, I reckon they'll come back, won't they?
If they look more like normal glasses. If they were like, I don't know if anyone's seen Spider-Man Far From Home, but like the glasses that Peter Parker gets in that, I'd be down for that.
Should we do some tech news?
Yeah, sure, why not? What's been happening?
Sound like a teacher there, don't I? Rob, can we get onto the tech news, please?
Lads, can we settle down?
Lads.
Was that just universal? Every PE teacher would go, lads.
Lads, whilst they twizzle their keys on a lanyard.
Yeah. In their giant coat while you're freezing in the cold playing rugby. Lads, can you run around a bit, please?
Exactly. right, so first up is electric. Can we talk electric aircraft? Or electric aeroplanes.
Electric aeroplanes.
All right. So, as you know, I love traveling. We both love traveling.
We love traveling.
We do feel the guilt of when we do travel, the guilt of the carbon emissions that the aeroplanes make when we fly.
Not that we make. yes, I do. I genuinely do.
Yeah.
It's. Do you ever try and offset your emissions?
By planting. Well, I haven't, since I thought of offsetting, I haven't actually then flown in an aeroplane, if that makes sense. I was going to last year, but it never did because I never flew in an aeroplane. Did you know aviation, gosh, I'm struggling with words there. Aviation produces 2% of all human-induced CO2 emissions.
Oh.
So the wonderful brains at NASA... are looking to basically accelerate the development of electric aircraft. So they're basically wanting people to submit demonstrations of subsonic aircraft with integrated, and this is their wording, megawatt class powertrain system, electric engines, basically.
Yeah.
Which I think is quite
cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
I think the science needs to be advanced quite a bit because I think the batteries are way too heavy for it to work.
Yeah.
But
the fact that they haven't, they're asking people for help is a little concerning. They're like, guys, we can't do it.
Can someone else? Yeah. I think maybe there's going to have to be a global collaboration for this to work. But anyway, they're looking.
You know who needs to get involved? Mr. Elon Musk. He'd just dream about it one night and he'd be like, oh yeah, I've solved it.
He'll figure it out, won't he? Big long power cable.
He's already dead.
The man at the back unreeling it really quickly.
Slow it down, Elon. Slow it down. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're looking at putting this in turboprops, regional jets, and single aisle aircraft. I need to stop reading news articles because that means nothing.
you sound so knowledgeable.
Little airplanes.
Little ones. I was going to say big airplanes, like passenger aircraft. That's going to take a lot of energy to do one of those.
Well, like regional jets and single aisle aircraft. Those are like the small ones that you would fly in to go between. Yeah. Like, so like London and Paris, or like London and Berlin, or something like that. Or
so
yes,
is it, like, are they jet powered? Can you do jet powered electric, or is it like propeller old?
Oh, I think it'll be propeller. Yeah, I don't think it would be. Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea.
I mean, you don't understand. How have you not solved it yet?
Maybe
you're the one they've been looking for.
I am. Yes, I could help them solve it. More batteries.
If every passenger
plugs their phone in the seat, it can suck power from their phone, powers the engines. Done.
If everyone brings along like an extension cable and then plugs it back into itself, isn't that just unlimited power?
That's exactly it. Yeah.
There we go.
We've
solved it.
The Tesseract.
You're welcome, everyone.
Everyone needs the Tesseract. That's from Marvel, isn't it? Right, anyway, so that was our first item. Next item.
That's cool. So along similar sort of lines, I guess, America's back at it again. And scientists working for the Pentagon have uncovered a way to use a solar panel in space to then beam that energy back down to Earth. So like I'm calling it space power.
Yeah, you
heard it here first. It's space power.
On the script that we have between us, I've written a lovely description about the previous news item. I wrote NASA getting involved in developing electric aircraft, and you've just written space power.
That's all you need to know.
Space power.
What more do you need?
I don't even know why.
The picture on the article that I'm reading is literally a big solar panel in space and then a laser beam pointing down to Earth.
Space power, full stop, done.
Space power.
Don't talk about it. What? Give you some details. You don't need any details. It's just space power.
Space power. It's as cool as it sounds. It actually is.
How's it work?
So I obviously don't fully understand it, but the power is collected outside of the Earth's atmosphere. So the solar radiation that the solar panel gets is much stronger.
Yeah,
of course. And therefore it has a higher conversion rate. So the energy that it collects is much higher. And then through some sort of magic, it beams that power back down to Earth. And the thing is, it's on a rotation at the moment, this satellite going around the Earth. It rotates every nine orbits every 90 minutes. And they're saying that once this is fully functional, if you have a big solar panel that's, I don't know, a couple of kilometers wide, they could beam like a decent amount of energy to power a city anywhere within seconds. So it could be flying over Chicago, and then they're like, oh, Chicago doesn't need that energy. Beam it to London, and within less than a second, London would have all that power beamed to them.
But with it moving like the beam from Chicago to London, it's just going to cut a huge hole in the earth. Like buildings would just be cut in two. Just moving the power beam.
they're moving the power beam again. Oh, no. Oh. And it's path.
Stay out of the way. Hey, no.
The old power beam.
I just had a thought. If we combine news item one and news item two, that's how we do it.
Solar panels
in space.
Tracking the planes.
Powering the planes.
Can you imagine if you had your phone out and suddenly the solar beam just went over you? Like, I've suddenly got 400% battery. How has this happened?
That would be so cool, wouldn't it? All right, news item three, next on the list is kickflipping its way to a console near you.
Oh yeah.
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. Did you ever play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater?
I did. I had Tony Hawk's Pro Skater on my Game Boy Advance back in the
day. Oh yes. So Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 are being remastered and they've been brought to Xbox, the new Xbox, the new generation of Xbox and PlayStation. And I think most excitingly, Nintendo Switch. Yeah, I have a Nintendo Switch. That's what
basically
it's most exciting.
The recreation of what we had as kids.
Basically,
it's going to be portable. It's going to be Pro Skater, but it's going to look beautiful.
I'm really excited about this. So it's coming later in the year for Switch. It's coming end of March for Xbox, the Xbox and PS5. And it's two games, Pro Skater 1.
1 and 2 in one package. So were you one of those cool kids that could skateboard as a child? Or were you...
I could never figure out how to do any tricks. So I mainly just used it as a mode of transport.
I was pretty similar. I had a Power Rangers skateboard, which was first of all the coolest thing in the world.
That is so cool.
I would just go up and down my driveway constantly, just rolling down a slight incline.
Yeah, that's kind of it. I went along the road on the skateboard. And I, for the life of me, I tried to learn how to do a kickflip. Honestly, I tried so many times and I just couldn't get it.
It's tough.
Yeah.
So you live your virtual dreams out with Tony Hawk.
And then when Tony Hawk's Pro Skater came out on the PlayStation 2, that is when I was like, I'm here. I don't need to go outside for exercise. I can just sit in front of the TV.
That's the message you want to send kids. Don't go outside for exercise. Do it on your Game Boy.
Play. Yeah, exactly that. So Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2. But I would say it's only the second most exciting game news this week because...
Oh, I know. This is big. This is really big. So Nintendo had another big announcement. I don't know why they didn't include it in their big Nintendo Direct last week, but they decided not to. But they've announced a whole load of new Pokemon news.
Yes.
Part of that is there's a new version of Pokemon Snap, which, if anyone's played it before, is... it's not a sassy version of Pokemon. It's a photography version of Pokemon.
Sounds rubbish.
A big park, and you take photos of Pokemon, and you throw them apples so they can eat things while you take photos.
That sounds rubbish.
Well, for wandering photographers, it could be a good thing.
Oh, did you have Pokemon Snap, and did you enjoy it?
I didn't. I never had Pokemon Snap. No. But I don't like to bash a game before I've played it.
Okay, fine. Okay, I'm sure it'll be a great game.
But that's not the exciting stuff. We all know the exciting stuff. So they've also announced that they're going to be remastering in HD Pokemon Diamond and Pearl.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Great. And the real big one.
Here we go.
It's called Pokemon Legends. And it's the game that people thought the previous Pokemon should have been. It's a more open world action RPG style Pokemon game where all the Pokemon are wandering around in the world. You can see them walking around. You can walk up to them, throw the ball. He doesn't go into the little cutscene that it would do in the normal games. And it just looks like it's the next step, the next evolution in Pokemon.
It looks like the cartoon. Because
it does.
The Pokemon cartoon came out. So that was one of the first video games I ever played, was Pokemon Red.
Yeah.
As I've talked about before, I absolutely adored that game. It was like, you know, I could not believe that I could go and explore this world on my little Game Boy. And it was just amazing. And then I thought that when I kind of left the world of video games and rejoined it when I got a Switch a few years ago, I was like, Nintendo must have released like an open world, like proper version of... And they hadn't. Like,
they've been doing the same game for like the past 16 years. Ever since they started, they mix around the story ever so slightly, but you always know what's happening.
And put some more Pokemon in there. But yeah, apart from that, same old.
Same old thing.
But they're calling it Pokemon Breath of the Wild. And why is that? Why are they calling it Pokemon Breath of the Wild? Explain where that comes from.
Because people are calling it that because they use a very similar marketing video for the announcement of this Pokemon game as they did to the original Zelda Breath of the Wild game.
In
concept, they're fairly similar. They're both open world explorer-y games, but they could have done something slightly differently.
I think the reason people are so excited is because Zelda Breath of the Wild, what's it called?
Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yeah. I personally, I think it's the best game I've ever played. Like, by far the best game I've ever played.
It's a fantastic game. It's definitely up there with the greats of all time. 100%.
Yeah, and so if Pokemon can even take like a little bit of that, it's going to be a fantastic game.
I think Legends has the potential to be what you felt Fire or Red was back in the day.
Yeah, exactly.
But it will actually be that. You're actually exploring this big open world and catching all these Pokemon and seeing them around. So it's really cool. The trailer itself wasn't amazing, but the concept of where it is, I think it's still quite early on in development, but it'll be very exciting when it does come out. We've got high hopes over here for that game.
When's it due? This year? Next year? Year after?
I think it's coming in 2022.
Oh, wow. Okay. So they've got
a while to wait, but that's fine. As we've seen with Cyberpunk, the longer you wait with games, you don't want to rush them, basically. Don't pressure people.
It'll take a while to develop.
Before they're ready. So, yeah.
All right. Let's try and recoup some of the street cred we once had before we spent 5 minutes talking about Pokemon. Apple, one of my favorite subjects, they have been, I think this is really good news, on the sustainability ladder. They have now been forced... in France to add repairability scores on all of their devices on their website. So if you go onto the French version of apple.com, they have like a little icon at the bottom of the page with a little green spanner, or a little green box with a spanner in it, and it gives a score out of 10 as to how repairable that device is. This is all around that whole like right to repair movement. It's kind of a big movement bubbling away, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been happening for quite a while all over the internet, but it seems to have come to the forefront in France.
which is great. It's really good.
It's really cool. It's what technology should be. You should have
absolutely
ability to repair. You shouldn't be forced to buy a new phone or spend a load more money to repair it with a certain manufacturer. So this is really cool.
Yeah, I am a massive fan of it. I hope it gets rolled out in other countries. I hope it forces Apple, who are now the biggest smartphone manufacturer. They picked that title back up again this year. So they have a lot of influence. So if Apple are going to be doing more of it, then the other manufacturers will follow suit. It's not just on iPhones, it's on Apple's laptops. So I think it's a really, really exciting development. I'm really looking forward to seeing where that goes.
Having said that, do you think you would, if they gave it a score that was accessible to people like you and me, would you give it a go? Yeah. Would you open your iPhone?
Yeah, definitely. I've replaced a screen on an iPhone before, and it was so fantastically tricky. Because of just like everything is all a bit kind of glued in and all of that stuff. And I think it's got worse since then. I think it was an iPhone 5.
Yeah, they soldered them on now and all sorts of things you can't do.
And I think they've even added a bit of software which detects if you've put like a third party bit of hardware
really,
in. Like,
they have.
And it stops the phone from working properly. Like all that kind of stuff. I'm hoping this will negate some of that.
It would be really cool for this to be a differentiating factor in the future for like, this phone's really easy to repair. This phone is really accessible for people.
Yeah.
And it's interesting it starts with Apple.
Yeah.
It's really interesting because they're notoriously the closed system company, aren't they? They're not allowing people to get in there. But yeah.
I'm very excited about that. What's next on the list?
So, something that is now available to purchase, I think it's quite interesting, it's called the Amazon Echo Show 10. This is basically a normal Echo device, but it's got a big 10-inch tablet
screen the 10.
Attached to it. That's the 10. There you go. But this is quite cool because it swivels. So the screen is on a motor and it can swivel all the way around this circular speaker device. And the theory is that you put it on like a kitchen island or like a breakfast bar or something, and it will track where you are in the room based on a number of things, and it will always have the screen pointing at you. Yeah. Now, this is cool in theory, but it's also very creepy because
yes.
The way that it tracks you is it uses its camera all the time to monitor where you are. They're saying that they don't actually use the video. They interpret shapes or something like that. It's all algorithm and shapes, and they're not actually seeing the video, and that your data would be protected because no one can actually interpret this video as a video. It's just shapes and things. But it's still very creepy just having a device that literally follows you around. It's like a CCTV tracking where you are. So it's cool in theory, but the privacy issue is quite
I'm gonna nope on that one. I'm gonna nope pretty hard on that.
Yeah, so for anyone that loves being watched by creepy people at Amazon, then go for it.
Probably worth saying, we don't know if, you know, Amazon say they don't track, so we just, probably worth saying that, but you never know.
You never know. They're probably not watching, and they've said that they're not watching, so
yeah.
Probably okay.
Probably okay.
Still creepy though.
But still creepy, yeah.
Still creepy.
All right.
So I think the final thing I wanted to say is that David Attenborough, bless him.
Does he track you as well? Is he tracking you as well?
He's tracking me. He's always watching me. That's weird. David Attenborough is too wholesome for that sort of talk.
He is.
He is coming out with, he's part of a new app, and it's called the Museum Alive, which is an app that you can get for iPhone, only on iPhone at the moment.
Good.
It's an augmented reality museum narrated by David Attenborough.
I knew David Attenborough would be an iPhone. He strikes me as the kind of lad that would have an iPhone for sure.
The lad.
A lad, yeah.
Do you think he can do a kickflip? I reckon he can.
I bet he can. Of course he can.
I bet he can. He's got a lot of street cred.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, this is quite cool. So it's, you don't see much about augmented reality that people actually use, but I could see this being useful for any parents out there that are still doing homeschooling and are looking for like a school trip kind of experience that you can bring David Attenborough into your lounge. I think that's really cool, and he'll talk you through all this prehistory stuff, and you can zoom in on these animals and these creatures and all the little dioramas that they've got. It's really cool, and he's narrating the whole thing, so there's something available. I think it's only a couple of pounds. I'd say it's worth a little go.
Nice. Yeah, well,
that's it. That's all I've got.
Okay.
As I always like to say, nothing else is interesting that week. So
it's nothing else of interest this week. Nope. All right. Well, that is it for our tech roundup. So we'll be back with part two of Interneted right after this. Welcome back to Interneted, a show about tech, gadgets, and the internet. And it's now time for the part of the show where we take a trip to the Agony Uncles Detective Agency. Yes, we are the Agony Uncles, and this is our detective agency solving crimes against tech. Since camcorders were a thing.
Yeah, what a time.
What a time. Camcorders. What time.
Not a word we really use anymore, is it?
No.
We should, it's a shame.
We should, but we should, what would it mean nowadays?
Camcorder. I don't know. Screen recorder is what I'd think.
Yeah, fair enough. Anyway, sorry.
But more on that later. No spoilers. Anyway, this week we're opening our door once again to solve troubling tech mishaps, misdemeanors, and any cold cases sent in by helpless bystanders.
We set this agency up because we're both those people who always get asked how to fix stuff. It's tough work, but somebody has to do it. And that somebody is us.
Regularly. It is. We always do it in between those breaks of us playing Pokemon. We're fixing troubles for the people.
Fixing troubles, catching Charizards. That's what we do.
So, what is today's case, Michael? Who are we helping?
Today's case comes from Ben in Oxford. So, here's Ben.
Hi, Agony Uncles. I've got a problem you might be able to help me with. Why is my internet so slow? Please help. It's driving me mad.
I would say slow internet is something that we get asked about a lot. Like, slow internet.
It's a lot. I think a lot of people... a lot of the questions we get asked are typically from just like family and friends, but why is my internet slow is the thing I get asked from like colleagues at work.
Yeah.
And just random people on the street, they'll come up to me and say, Rob, why is my internet slow?
Why? You'd be like, number one, put your mask back on. Okay. Number two,
how do you know my name?
How do you know my name? Your name badge. Fine. Okay. Yeah. I wear my name badge. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's true. I get asked that question quite a lot. And I suppose it's very apt in this new age of working from home more, and
it is
being in offices.
Everyone's whole life revolves around having good internet, essentially. So
it does.
If you don't have good internet, then you're a sad person.
So
not as in you're sad. I mean, you will be sad if you don't have good internet. Sorry, sorry.
You anti-internet. Yeah. If you haven't got internet,
you're just sad.
You're not in this club. All right.
I really come across well on this show, don't I?
Okay. Moving swiftly on. How are we going to solve this crime against tech?
We should probably break it down into two parts.
Okay.
So you can take a look at the internet that's coming into your home, so mm-hmm. the connection into your home, and then probably the setup you've got inside your home. So once the internet's reached your home, how is it then distributed? So first of all, for the connection into your home, you want to check your speed. So you can use that on any tools online. I think Google's got its own tool, and there's other tools online for free that you can go on and just check your speed and just see what sort of numbers you're getting.
So
I can't remember what the averages are in the UK, but anything above 10, I want to say, is pretty solid.
Yeah, so there's a couple of things just to mention with that then. So if you're on the Openreach network, which a lot of people would say the BT network, but strictly speaking, it's the Openreach network. So that is anything that is wired into your house and not Virgin Media. Generally speaking, there's a few more exceptions to that. So if you're on the Openreach network, then if you go on the Openreach website, you can do a speed check on there where they'll actually tell you what speed they would expect you to get rather than you actually going and testing your current internet speed. They can tell you what kinds of speeds you could get because different places obviously can get different speeds. And there's another website that I really like which is, I think it's a company that sells broadband, but it's called aa.net.uk. And the cool thing that they do is if you put your postcode in and point your address, they'll tell you how fast you can get on the Openreach network. But they'll also tell you, interestingly, where the cabinet is that you're going to connect to and what number cabinet you're going to connect to based on your local network. Wow. It's quite interesting because then you can be like, oh, that cabinet that is like two doors down, that's where I'm going to connect to. You'll get a bit of a sense of how fast...
Of where you'll get your internet from.
And if your internet goes down and you can, and then you look out your window and you can see some people working on the cabinet down your street, you'll maybe know why. So I thought that was quite interesting.
Hang on. You mean the internet doesn't come from that box in the IT crowd?
It doesn't, like the black box with the red line. It doesn't.
Wow. Well, maybe I should sit this one out if I thought that's where it came from.
So yeah, loads of homes are able to get fiber nowadays, and you might hear the phrase FTTC, which stands for fiber to the cabinet. So that means they run glass fiber optic cables from the exchange all the way to the cabinet in the street. And then it's the normal copper cable from the cabinet to your home. So that's why it says fiber to the cabinet. And the kind of speeds you can get with that are, I think, like up to 100 meg. Mm-hmm. Now, when they say the speed, when you hear speed 100 meg, that means the download speed you're going to get. But that is probably only one of the important things you need to be considering.
Yeah, definitely. There's also upload speed. So your connection from your own devices to the internet. So you want to make sure that your upload speed is as high as possible. Upload speeds generally are a lot lower.
Yeah, like sometimes like 10%, maybe 20% of your download speed.
Yes, they will be a lot lower, but they will have a big impact because anything that you're doing that needs to connect to other people on the internet, so things like what we're doing now, video calls, that will be using your upload speed as well as your download speed because you have to send the data from your device to the internet.
Yeah, and the other thing is the latency. You can only really test, you know, from a computer within your network, your home network, but latency is really important. And actually, upload, download speed and latency are basically the three things you need to get right if you want to do a video call. Because with a video call, you're downloading the video from the person that you're speaking to. You're uploading, i.e. uploading your video to the person that you're speaking to, as in you're sending your video physically and your audio to them. And the ping is how long it takes that piece of information to go from you to that person. So if you have if that's a very, very high number, it will take a lot longer. And reason why you get that is sometimes, I don't know, sometimes it's loads of different...
distance, it's, it can be location.
Exactly,
sorts of things.
Loads of things, but
it's something that a lot of gamers out there will know. So if you've ever played online games, you've got a really high ping, you'll know that you have troubles when you're playing, bounce around all over the map
because it can't quite figure out where you are. So that's the first thing. If you're in Virgin Media, I think it's slightly different. So I think you can go and check on their website and they'll tell you speeds and stuff. Generally speaking, their speeds are looking to be a bit higher at the moment.
Because they run their own network, so there's usually less traffic and they've got their own infrastructure, so they're usually at slightly faster. But anyway, so you can check your speeds, that's what we're saying.
But if you're getting less than that, what can you do? If you're getting less, if you go on the Openreach website and it says, I should be getting 80 meg, or at least that's the speed that I can be get, what can you do?
So I think there's a few things. If your internet service provider has said, we'll guarantee a minimum speed, and if your speed falls below this, and then you test your speed and it falls below that number, you can contact your internet service provider and let them know and say, you know, something's going wrong here. I'm not getting the speeds that I was promised. And make it an issue for them because they should have the responsibility to make sure that you're getting that speed. And if not, you'll get a discount on your price or you'll be able to go somewhere else without any cancellation fees.
The other thing you might want to do, that might be the reason, is that you have got a lower plan. So even though you have the capacity to be able to do a really fast speed, they will want to charge you more for that. Generally, they'll charge you more for the higher speed. Yeah. And they have like two or three different tiers. You might be on the lower tier, which is like, I don't know, like 20 meg or something, and you may be able to get 100. So you may want to call them up and say they might be able to do a discount, or you might actually say the additional 10, 15, 20 pounds a month is worth it because I'm working from home, or Netflix is really slow when I'm trying to watch it, all of that stuff. Yep.
So you can just pay to get better internet sometimes, can't you? So that's a good place to start.
And finally, if you haven't got any of those options, which some people might do, BT is trying to, I think OpenReach, sorry, is trying to cover the whole country. But there are some places where you just can't get it.
Still rural communities out there that don't have a connection. They're not wired in, are they? So there's a few options you've got there as well. One being a sort of a Wi-Fi, portable Wi-Fi hub, so you can get connected to 4G.
Yeah.
And that would be your data source. So it's a bit like having your mobile phone connected to 4G, but you'll have higher data limits and all sorts of things. But that will provide you with a level of internet that should be fairly stable, or something else which we've mentioned previously, Michael.
It wouldn't be an episode of Interneted if we didn't mention His Majesty Elon Musk, His Royal Highness. So as I think we mentioned it a couple of episodes back, there's a beta trial for this thing called Starlink, which is £100 a month. Is that right? Mm-hmm. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think that's what we said.
Satellite internet, literally space internet, slightly higher latency, but like really good speeds, like very, very comparable to broadband speeds. And if you're in the middle of nowhere and you haven't got a BT or a home phone connection or whatever, you haven't got rubbish 4G, but you can see the sky, then you can get
it from space.
Get space internet.
Internet and then space power when it comes along.
Get space internet, space power, and you're truly
you've got
off
space
the grid.
House.
Space house.
What's the collective name for people that are fans of Elon Musk? Are we musklings?
No, we bask in his musk.
Oh, that does not make me happy.
No, me neither. I said it. Now I feel immediately like I regret that phrase.
We're going to shower.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you can check the internet coming into your house, but you can also check the speeds of the internet, or the speed of your connection from when the internet's coming into your home and is distributed around your home.
Yeah,
so you could have a really fast connection coming in. But if your connection and your router isn't best set up, then you'll still get slow speeds potentially.
And by router, we mean like that box that your broadband provider sends to you. If we use the word router, that's what we mean. So that thing that the internet from the outside plugs into and then is supposed to wonderfully distribute the internet, the Wi-Fi throughout your house or wherever you're living.
The thing that if you turn off and on again, it will often solve a lot of your problems.
It fixes everything, doesn't it?
Thing. So,
what can you do then? What can you do to have reliable internet? So if your connection is fast, you've done a speed test, I've got a really fast connection, but I'm trying to watch TV in my lounge and it keeps stop, doesn't work, or I'm trying to do a Zoom call in my bedroom and it doesn't work. What are my options?
So I think you want to make sure, I think we've mentioned some of these things before, but if you want the best internet connection speed to your router, you want to be as close as possible to it, because things like walls or other devices like microwaves, they can all interfere with the signal that you're receiving from your router and cause it to get a slower speed, essentially.
Yeah.
So if you can, sit as close as you can to your router. Even more preferable to that would be to wire yourself in, so using an Ethernet connection from the back of your router to whatever device it is. If you can, that's probably the most stable and the fastest connection you'll be able to get from your router.
By far the most reliable way. Like even if you are sat right next to your router, you can get dropouts for whatever reason, because it's going, you know, going doing it through the air. But if you're wired in, it is super reliable. So I would really recommend that for things like laptops. If you're really struggling with laptop, like you're like a work laptop or something, I would wire in if you can. The other thing you can look at doing, if that's not an option, because it maybe isn't for some people, is looking at range extenders or mesh extenders. So that's some ISPs, internet service providers, provide those. You can pay a little bit of money and they'll give you basically mesh or range extenders. And that what essentially it does is it connects to the Wi-Fi network like it was a device, and then it beams out
a slightly weaker signal, but it does what it says on the tin, doesn't it? It extends the range of your Wi-Fi. So if you find that there's a certain room that doesn't get an internet connection, then a range extender could do that. You know, you plug it in to next to that room or in that room, and it will boost the signal in that room.
It's not perfect because it basically you're adding an additional hop. So you could potentially be adding latency, that thing we talked about earlier. And it kind of, it's not perfect, but it may do, it may just work perfectly.
If you're getting no internet in a room and then you want some internet, then, you know, it's good. It's best for, I think they say it's best for devices that require low broadband, like bandwidth. So I don't know, maybe you've got an internet radio. Do people still have those? I don't know, but you want to wire in. God, I sound really old, but I'm so young.
And the last thing I think is power line adapters. That's really good for like point to point. So power line adapters, essentially, you plug a network Ethernet cable into your router. You plug that into the power line adapter, which plugs into your plug socket. And then it sends the internet through your power, through your electricity circuit. And then you plug one in at the other end, and then you plug an Ethernet cable into that. I think there are some that become like little mini Wi-Fi routers.
Yeah, but there's a very small caveat to that, and that's if you've got a really old house, your wiring may not support a power line adapter.
Very true.
For the majority of people, you should be fine. It's quite good for, like you say, point to point.
Really, and it's again more reliable than potentially more reliable than doing it over wireless.
Yeah, because you're essentially directly wiring it to your router in a sort of roundabout way. It's still a wired connection, so it's quite good.
All right, so
there you go.
So in summary, let's do a quick summary. So check your connection coming into your home, and you can do that by going on to your internet service provider's website or Openreach or Virgin Media and seeing what kinds of speeds you can get. And then you can speak to your ISP, your internet service provider, make sure you're getting those speeds. If that's not possible, if you haven't got any wires coming into your house, then you can look at 4G connections, or you could even get space internet. Bah, bah, bah. If that connection is reliable, you know you've got a really fast speed coming in, you could look at the connection in your home. Best option, number one, is definitely to wire yourself in if you can. Connect yourself directly into the router. Number two, get yourself as close as possible to the router to avoid any interference. If that still doesn't work, you can get range extenders or mesh extenders. And if you just need a really good point-to-point connection, but you can't run a wire all the way from point A to point B, you can get a power line adapter. Was that a good summary?
What a lovely summary that was. Thank Why did we talk all that other stuff before?
I don't know. We should have just done that, shouldn't we?
A waste of time. Anyway,
2 minutes.
Hopefully that answers your question, Ben.
Hopefully it does. All right. Are we calling that case closed?
I'm definitively saying that's a case closed right there.
All right. Well, I guess that's cased close. Let's just use that.
Cased close.
It's now time for some retro tech. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Magnificent Museum of Retro Tech, a totally not made up museum where we preserve the greatest gadgets and tech marvels for generations to come.
It's honest work, isn't it? We've got to do this for the future.
we've got to preserve it for future generations.
I'm hoping one day David Attenborough will do a voiceover for the Museum of Retro Tech.
That would literally be the best thing ever, wouldn't it? That would absolutely make my day. My week,
it would make
month.
It into a real thing at that point. It wouldn't just be this made up thing.
Whoa. Who said that?
Certainly
made
not
up
made up thing. Sorry.
Thank you.
Anyway.
What's the plan?
So each week, one of us will be submitting two items, or we'll be bringing along two items to the Museum of Retro Tech. However, we'll only be adding one piece and one piece only to the illustrious collection.
That's very mean, but I understand why. Why we need to do
them's
that.
The rules.
Them's the rules. We do make them.
Yep.
Rob, where is the museum this week?
Oh, what a place this is. It's actually somewhere I've never been, but I would love to go. And it is
You've heard, have you heard great things about it?
I've heard so many things about it from one person in particular.
Me.
And it's the legendary Wickham Swan, ladies and gentlemen. It is the local theatre of High Wickham.
It is.
Yeah. What a building it is. It's
give me some stats. Give me some facts
some
and figures.
Opened in 1992. That's Whoa. Right, ladies and gentlemen. It's been there for a long time and has a capacity of 1,076, not 77, no more than that.
It's the perfect number for the acoustics.
And it's well, you've been there.
I've played on the stage.
You've played the Wickham Swan. You've been kicked out by the Museum of Retro Tech.
I have played the Wickham Swan. I had a shared dressing room with my friend Aidan once. We played the Wickham Swan. Sold out. Came
were
just
you one of those
sure.
really like precious talents? You're like, I have to have blue M&Ms only.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. I needed.
What was your requirement?
And it is this very special water, mineral water. Had to be flown all the way from off a little island off New Zealand. to fly in especially.
An island off an island, wow.
Island off an island, yeah.
You're very precious with that. And that's actually, for anyone listening at home, I have to provide that with Michael with that every time we do one of these episodes as well.
Yes, exactly. I had there's these special sweets that I have to have. It's like marshmallowy, coconutty sweets.
From Brazil, right? Aren't they?
Well, it's called sponge. I have to have these little sponge sweets. So sponge sweets and the glassy water is what I have to have.
Well, you need a lot of water with a sponge sweet, don't you? As we've discussed many a time.
Yeah. Anyway, this week, Rob, you're going to be bringing our two potential submissions, and as curator, as I've said before, I have absolute authority as to what makes it in and what, unfortunately, goes in the bin. Because that's what happens, all right?
In the bin?
Yeah. We got a little swing bin here. Just lift up my foot, drop it in, and yeah, we don't. Do we recycle it? No, we don't.
Doesn't need that. We burn.
We burn it. Yeah. We burn it. Yeah. Because it lost. I don't care
if there's rid of it somehow.
Only one left in the world. We burn it if it didn't make it in. Anyway. Rob, welcome to my office. My office is...
Where are we?
It's the dressing room that I shared with
Aiden. The dressing room. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's too much imported water in here for my liking, but, I'll shuffle in.
It's on the top floor, and if you look out, you can see Marlow Hill, because that's right at the top of the Wickham Swan, looking out over Marlow Hill, the fire station. And you can, if you open the window, you can just smell the sense of blue grass. Just cooking up some burgers,
some delights. Oh yeah,
and you can just hear the faint hum of the Salsa Club across the road at the I think it's at the British Legion across the road.
Also, if you listen really closely in the background, you can hear, yeah, that's right, Michael's got on episodes of our own podcast in the background that he listens to all day.
Yeah, exactly. I need to hear. I critique it, don't I? I send you...
you do. You're very harsh to yourself.
It's not to me. I write you notes. I say, maybe you shouldn't say that. Say it like this. And I write it on a yellow manila paper and I send it to you. Handwrite it with time codes. That'd be so mean, wouldn't it, if I actually did that?
That would be horrible. Thankfully, you don't do that yet.
Right. Should we talk retro tech? Because we've gone down a rabbit hole. I'm thoroughly enjoying it, but we've gone very hard down this rabbit hole.
Okay, so I've brought two gadgets along.
Well, it's my office. I'll tell you what you're going to be talking about.
I'm taking charge of this meeting. I've brought two. I've brought two gadgets.
You're not taking charge, all right? I'm taking... All right, fine. You go. Go on, then.
I'm waiting for you to ask me.
Please take a seat.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, Rob, what have you bought? You know what? Give me your first item first.
If I want to now.
Was this what I was like as a manager?
Exactly what you're like. Getting me to buy striped paint and all sorts of things.
Skirting board ladders.
It was a difficult time. Anyway. He kept asking me to teach how to do a kickflip and I just couldn't do it.
So what have you bought?
I've brought along with me, one of the items is a Polaroid SX70.
SX70.
And this is the iconic mainstream Polaroid camera that everyone would think about when they think about Polaroid. Yes. Made in 1972 until 1981, so a nine-year lifespan. It's the first commercial camera that allowed people to take photos and have it developed in their hand within 10 minutes, not having to go and get them developed professionally, but actually, having it done in your hand. And contrary to popular belief, you shouldn't shake a Polaroid picture.
That was my mobile phone ringing through my computer. Sorry, do carry on.
I realised we had phone-in guests on this show. It's the owner of Polaroid going, that's not true. None of this is true. No, it is true. So this camera would allow you to have fully developed pictures within 10 minutes.
Wow.
It costed in today's money, it would be about £1,100. Quite an expensive piece of kit, but... to have that, take it to a party and just be like, guys, want a photo? Yeah, there you go. Bam, done. It's cool.
It's just so cool. I mean, even today, I have sat right next to me the modern equivalent of the Polaroid camera. I don't think the Polaroid as the company exists in the same way it does anymore. I don't think they make Polaroid cameras. So I think the one that Fujifilm, I think, is the company that makes the nearest equivalent. And even today, I have one and I thoroughly enjoy taking photos on it.
It's so cool. Such a novelty. Even though modern smartphones, just take a picture and it's right there on your screen.
Yeah.
You don't, it's not as satisfying as having that little piece of card with the picture on it, is it?
There's something about this being the one and only photo of this kind that I
can't make any changes to it. You can't edit it. It's this printed out already, boom, done.
And it already has that kind of Polaroid feel, yeah. Like it's like desaturated.
Anytime you apply that filter to like a digital photo, it always feels slightly wrong. But a Polaroid, yeah. Even if the exposure's all wrong, it just looks cool.
It does. And especially if you have a Sharpie and you write on the little band at the bottom.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's
And then you make a collage awesome. Of them and you're like, welcome to my cool den.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, I'm sold. I'm sold. You have to really do something to persuade me.
So the next item is it's a bit bigger.
Yeah.
And this is the Sony Betamovie, which is the very first commercial camcorder. As released by Sony in 1983. And this is a big boy. This is a big bit of kit. This is a shoulder mounted device.
Yes.
It looks like what, you know, if you imagine a film set and you see people, you know, in Hollywood carrying those big cameras around on their shoulders, it's basically like that. It's huge.
Wow.
And so these things, they're recorded on, they're sort of like a VHS, but they're called a Betamax cassette.
Okay.
It's quite niche.
Well, the Betamax lost against the VHS cassette.
They did.
Famously lost against it. But I suppose it doesn't matter if you're recording video and you're wanting to play back. It kind of doesn't matter what it gets recorded on because you're still, you know, creating copies of it. Okay.
Exactly. So, yes. So this was a legendary device. It was the first time you could make home movies at home and, you know, making memories.
All right. I think I mean, my cards are already on the table. I think it's really obvious which I'm going to pick. I think... Without doubt, I'm going to have to pick the Polaroid SX70.
I thought you might.
I just can't not. Like, if you think about the things that we have already, we have, you know, the PlayStation 2.
Mm.
We have the Nokia 30, or whatever it was that we used.
The 3010, yeah.
It is as iconic as, if not more. I think it's one of the most iconic.
I'd say it's more iconic because... The concept of it's still around today and it's still cool.
If you had that on a t-shirt, a Polaroid camera t-shirt, it'd still look cool, wouldn't it?
Like, wasn't it the logo for Instagram for a while? Like,
yeah.
A Polaroid camera.
Exactly.
There you go.
And it basically is what inspired Instagram, isn't it? That's why Instagram photos are square, because Polaroid photos were originally square, weren't they?
With the little caption underneath. Yeah, there you go.
So
I can understand that. I'm happy with that choice.
It's going to have to be the Polaroid SX70 that gets submitted. So... Very warm welcome to the Museum of Retro Tech. And with that, that is it from the Museum of Retro Tech.
And with that, it's time for us to end the show. Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Interneted. We hope you enjoyed it. Interneted is hosted, produced, and written by Michael Bird and me, Rob Murgatroyd. If you've got any suggestions or want to phone in halfway through a recording like someone did, then please feel free to submit your questions to our website, anchor.fm/interneted. That's anchor.fm/interneted.
Yes, and we are releasing episodes every week, so make sure you don't miss out on our next episode. Make sure you're subscribed on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to give us a cheeky 5-star rating, especially if you're my sister.
Cheeky.
If you're my sister Victoria, who's the one that called me? So there we go.
I think you're the ultimate source of cheekiness, since people can't go to Nando's still.
Yeah.
cheekiness.
Thank you so much for tuning in, and we hope to see you next week for the next episode of Interneted.